John chapter 14 tonight. John chapter 14. And appreciate you being here tonight. And we'll try not to hold you long. I was working on something else, studying something else, and just for the service, I felt like the Spirit of God said, no, we're going to do something different. So we're going to mind God. John 14, you got your Bibles, amen? John 14, pay attention. The Bible said this in verse number 16. He said, and I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for the Bible. Lord, thank You that these people have come tonight to get something from God. And Lord, I pray that that's exactly what You do, that, Lord, You touch them. Father, sometimes we just need to be still, be quiet, and listen for You. Lord, we get busy and we run. And Lord Jesus, Your people don't hear God. Too much going on, Lord. Too busy, all the social media and all the noise and everything's taking place. But Father, just for a little while, Lord, You've quieted it down. You've made it cool where the fans ain't running. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would speak to hearts. God, I pray that, Lord Jesus, You'd work mightily. We sure love You and praise You. Lord, I'm here for You, not for me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Pay attention to the Bible. He said this, and I will pray the Father, He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Look at verse 26. Go to verse 26. We're going to look at quite a bit of Scripture here in the beginning. Then I'm going to give you something. The Bible said down there in verse 26, but the Comforter. Now look here. The Bible told us over there in verse 16, He's going to give you. Now let me just stop and say this. If you know anything about the Bible, John chapter 14, Jesus is leaving. Jesus is telling His disciples, I'm leaving, I'm going up to heaven, amen. And that's when He tells them over there, He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know what I'm talking about? The beginning of the chapter, chapter 14. And of course, He tells him, He says, I'm going to leave, but here's what He told him. He said, He shall give you. He said, I'm going to ask the Father, He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. In other words, He's saying this, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to prepare you a place. Amen. I'm going there to heaven. And He's saying this. He said, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to give you a Comforter. You ain't going to be left alone. He said, I ain't going to be here in person, but there's going to be something here, somebody here called the Comforter. Now look at verse 26. And then He tells him who the Comforter is. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He said, whom the Father will send in my name, and He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Bible tells us over there in John 14, He said, look here. He said, I'm leaving. He said, but I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to give you a Comforter. And then He tells him in verse 26 who that Comforter is. Are you listening? You with me? So that Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And then look over there at verse number 17, back to 17. It says this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. Understand that if you are not saved, you do not have the Comforter. You got that. The Comforter is only for people that are saved. The Bible said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. The reason they don't know Him is because they've never been saved. The Bible went on to say, but ye know Him. Why? Because you're saved. Amen. He said, for He dwelleth with you. And shall be, what's those last two words? In you. So let's review again, which I'm going to do quite a bit tonight. We got John 14. He tells them, I'm leaving. I'm going to tell you what, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be here. But the Father, I'm going to pray that He give you another Comforter. And He tells them, He says, that Comforter is the Spirit. Over there in verse number 17, He's the Spirit of truth. And He said, the only way you're going to know Him and who He is because if you're saved, in other words. And He said, that Spirit, that Comforter, is going to dwell in you. And He tells them over there in verse number 26, He said, that Comforter, that Spirit, He said, is the Holy Ghost. And He tells him He's going to dwell. Now let me say this to you. The Holy Ghost is not some spook. You understand? He ain't some freak show. He ain't somebody that makes people flop around like a fish on a floor. He's not somebody that makes somebody jabber at the mouth. He's not somebody that makes them do stupid things. Well, the Holy Ghost told me to do it. My hind leg. The Holy Ghost will never tell you to do anything that's out of order. Everything that God does is decently and in order. Amen? And so God plainly says this. He says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to give you a comforter. He's a spirit, but he's a comforter, and he is the Holy Ghost. And then he says, he is going to be in you. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Stay with me. Romans chapter number 8. Let's look at that, what it says. Romans 8 verse 11. We're going to go to a few more. But Romans 8 verse 11, I want to drive this point. I want you to understand it. You understand that God called him a comforter. He's called a spirit. He's called the Holy Ghost. Look over here in Romans chapter 8 verse 11. Here's what it said. But if the Spirit, capital S, of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit, listen, that dwelleth in you. Look over there if you would at 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians now. That's just a few pages over. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 16. Look what the Bible says here. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Look at the 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy now. 2 Timothy. It's not real hard to understand, is it? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 14. It says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in what? Us. God plainly tells us in His Bible. He tells us over there in John chapter 14, verse number 17, that the Spirit, that Comforter, is going to dwell in you, the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter number 8, verse 11, the Spirit that dwelleth in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Spirit that dwelleth in you. He said over there in 2 Timothy 1:14, the Spirit that dwelleth in us. Talking to saved people. So in other words, here's what God said, friend. God said plainly, He said, I'm going to leave. He said, but I'm going to leave you a Comforter. I'm going to pray the Father that He give you a Comforter. Comforter, and that Comforter is the Spirit, and that Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You understand? He is the same person. He is the same God, if you would. He has just as much authority as God does. He is God. And so you got God, and you got Jesus, and you got the Spirit, because it's a triune being, and God and Jesus says, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to give you the Comforter, and that Comforter is the Spirit, and that Comforter is the Holy Ghost, and that Comforter is the Holy Spirit, and He is going to dwell in you. If you're saved tonight, are you listening? Hey, boys, y'all listening? All right, let's put it away and listen. If you're saved tonight, the Spirit of God is in you. In you. Y'all with me? Stay with me now. It's all right. I'm not mad at nobody. The Spirit of God is in you. Whenever you got saved, God the Father in the Holy Ghost came inside of you. Now go to Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. It's very important. That's why I want you to listen. Ephesians 4:30. Galatians, Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 4:30. Here's what it says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Understand, let me go again. He said this, I'm going to give you a comforter. That comforter is a spirit. That spirit is the Holy Ghost. That spirit, He told you four or five places, He's going to dwell in you. And then he said over there in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Why? He's your comforter. He's inside of you. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians now. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn there quickly. Just stay with me. You'll listen. This will help you. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians 5. You understand the Holy Ghost of God is your comforter. You understand, church, that He dwells in you. You understand that He's there right now. If you're saved, the Spirit of God is inside of you. If you're not saved, He's not inside of you. You're not going to heaven. Only those that are saved are the ones that are going to heaven, that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Those are the only ones that are saved. If you're not saved, you're not going. But you can get saved tonight. But can I say to you, you're saved. I'm talking to you right now. Here's what the Bible said in verse number 19 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says this, quench not the Spirit. Can I say to you, church, tonight, that Comforter, that Holy Spirit, amen, that capital S Spirit, if you would, that Comforter, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost dwells inside of you. He's in you. And the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible said, quench not the Spirit. I'm preaching tonight just for a little while on grieving the Comforter. That word grieve means this. It means to give pain of mind to. It means to afflict. That's what grief means. It means to wound the feelings, to afflict pain on, to make sorrowful. It means to offend. It means to displease. It means to provoke. The word extinguish, the word quench means, it means to extinguish. It means to still. Are you with me? Stay with me. It means to still. It means to quiet. It means to repress. It means to destroy. So in other words, here's what God said. God said, I'm going to give you a comfort. I'm going to give you the Spirit of God. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost, and He's going to dwell in you. Everywhere you go, He's with you. And He said this. He said, don't grieve Him. Don't quench Him. In other words, don't give pain of mind. Don't afflict Him. Don't wound His feelings. Don't make Him sorrowful. Don't offend Him. Don't displease Him. Don't provoke Him. Don't extinguish Him. Don't steal Him. Don't quiet Him. Don't repress Him. Don't destroy His work. Now, let me give you something, friend. Think about this. Here's what happens in most people's life. Most people, what happens is many of God's people have or are living a life of grieving the Comforter or the Holy Ghost that dwells in them. It's a daily routine. Sad. But there's many people today that live a daily life of grieving the Spirit of God. Now, here's what happens. The individual gets saved. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about the working power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about Him dwelling in you. Amen? There is a difference. And so, the Spirit of God comes and He dwells inside of you when you're saved. Separates, amen, that spirit and that soul, if you would. Separates you from this flesh, but you're there in the same body. But one day, whenever this flesh dies, that spirit, it's gone. And the reason it's gone, God takes that spirit, if you would, if it's saved, to heaven. If it ain't saved, it goes to hell. Sad to say. But whenever an individual gets saved, the Spirit of God comes and He dwells inside of them. And there is God inside of you ready to work in your life. And here's what happens if you're not careful, dear friend, as a Christian. You'll begin to change and you'll start to grow in the Lord. And you'll enjoy that change. And then you'll reach a place where you'll stop if you're not careful. And what will happen is you'll say no to the Holy Ghost of God. He'll try to get you to keep changing and keep growing in the Lord. And there's a lot of people today that stop at a certain place because they start telling no, they start saying no to the Spirit of God. God says, you ought to do this. You ought to go to church. You got saved. You ought to go to church. And hey, man, I'd be glad to go. And they go to church. And the next thing you know, they says, you know, you need to be baptized. I'd be glad to get baptized. And the next thing you know, the preacher's preaching and you hear something. You say, yeah, that's right. Amen. And you know what? You try to change that in your life. And you start growing in the Lord. And then you realize, you say, I should be a soul winner. And so you start telling people about Jesus. And you start growing in the work and grace of God. You understand? You're not a baby Christian. You're starting to grow. Instead of just having milk, you're starting to have meat. And the next thing you know, a place in your life, God's dealing with you about certain things, and you start saying, I don't know if I want to change that. I don't know if I want to get rid of that. I don't know if I want to stop that. Can I say to you, right there and right there is the only place that you'll go in your Christianity. You'll not go any farther. You understand? And if you're not careful as a Christian, here's what will happen. You'll start allowing carnal things into your life. And you'll start grieving the Spirit of God in your life. This is what happens to many people. They begin to grieve the Spirit of God. They allow this in their life and that in their life. They maybe watch a show that they shouldn't watch on TV. Or they listen to something they shouldn't listen to. Or they look at something they shouldn't look at longer than they should have looked at it. Or they get involved in certain things on social media that they shouldn't get involved in. And what happens is they begin to grieve the Spirit of God a little here and a little bit there. And the next thing you know, that Spirit of God that's in you to comfort you and to work in your heart and to work in your life, all of a sudden you're bringing pain of mind to Him. You're afflicting Him. You're wounding His feelings. You're afflicting pain on Him. You're extinguishing God. You're stealing Him in your life. You're quieting Him. You're oppressing Him. You're destroying the work of God in your life by grieving and quenching the Holy Ghost. Now, can I say to you, the Holy Spirit of God is very powerful. He's very mighty. He can break the heart of the strongest, wildest individual. He can shed light on the darkest areas of a person's life. But He's easily grieved. If I can use the illustration. Brother Scott, can I use you? Would you come up here? Amen, Brother Allen. Can I use you, brother? Brother Allen's a good friend of mine. He is in Kentucky. He goes to Brother Durbin Spears Church. Brother Scott, if you stand here. Brother Allen over here. All right. Let's say that Brother Scott here is the meanest man in town. Not a chance, is there? I picked the right guy, man. I should have got Jim up here, amen. That's what I should know. Let's say he's the meanest guy in town. Cusses, fights, just, I mean, awful. Don't care about his wife, don't care about his kids, drinks, just lives wicked. I mean, just mean, amen. Stay with me. He don't care about God. He don't care about church. He could care less about what's going on. All he cares about is himself. Just mean as can be. Not saved. On his way to hell. On the other hand, you got Brother Bert Allen over here. He's a saved man. Brother Bert Allen got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Comforter lives inside of him. He's dwelling on the inside of him. Goes to church, takes care of his family, loves the Lord, gives, faithful, tries to tell people about Jesus, be a witness. I mean, he's trying to be a good Christian. Amen. Holy Ghost dwells inside of him. Holy Ghost don't dwell inside of him. He's lost. If he dies, he's going to hell. If he dies, he's going to heaven. But look at this. The Holy Ghost is so powerful that he can take the meanest man in town. He can put him on his knees. He can make him weep. He can make him cry out and call out to God and break his heart and change that man to where he's the greatest Christian in town. That's how powerful the Holy Ghost is. Are you with me? But he's so sensitive that if Brother Allen thinks a wrong thought, it grieves him. Thank you, fellas. You can sit down. He's so sensitive. Y'all with me? You can say something you shouldn't say, and it grieves him. He's so sensitive that you can get involved in something you shouldn't got involved in, and here's what happened. You'll repress him in your life. You'll quench him. You'll destroy his work. The Bible said in Luke 3:16, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. With fire. But did you know the fire can be quenched? Did you know it can be put out in your life? Did you know that it can be quieted? Maybe that's why there's a little fire in our churches today. Maybe that's why we don't sing out like we should sing out. Maybe that's why we don't win souls like we should. Maybe that's why we don't live that holy, separated Christian life like we should. Because there's no fire in our life. Because we've grieved the Spirit of God. Acts chapter number 5 is a good example of those that grieve the Spirit of God. We won't go there for time, but the story is this. You got Ananias and Sapphira. Are you with me? You got Ananias and Sapphira, and you know what they do? They want to look good in the eyes of everybody in the church. I mean, the Holy Ghost of God is moving greatly in the church, and the Spirit of God is moving mightily, and there's thousands being saved, and God's doing a great work in the house of God. And here's what happens in Ananias and Sapphira. They want a little prestige, if you would. They want a little recognition, if you would. And so they got a little devious plan in their heart. And so what they're going to do is they're going to go sell the land, and they're going to tell them what they sold it for, but they're going to keep back some for themselves and not tell them the truth. And let me say to you, you know what they were? They were liars. They were deceitful. They were full of pride. They were phonies. They were hypocrites. They tried to make everybody think they were spiritual. They tried to make everybody think that they were big givers, and they were neither one of those. You understand? And God is moving in a great way. And God doesn't want anything to hinder His work to go on. He doesn't want anything to hinder the power of God. And so what happens? Ananias comes and stands before the men of God. And what happens is he drops dead right there at the altar. You with me? The men tie him up, wrap him up, carry him out, and bury his hind end. And then his wife comes in and she lies to the Holy Ghost just like her husband did, and she drops dead right there at the altar. True story. Read it in the Bible. And they hind her hind end out there and they bury her also. You know what God's saying? God's saying, I don't want anything grieving me. I don't want anything hindering the work of God. There's a great thing taking place. I'm spreading the word of God right now. I'm building my church and I'm going to spread this around the world, and I don't want anything grieving it. And they grieved him. You better be careful grieving God. And I'm convinced with all my heart, how come is I can go to some churches? You tell me, how come I can go to one church and I can preach a message and have the touch of God and the power of God and the help of God and the altars to fill up, souls to be saved, lives to be changed? Brother Allen, how come that is? And you go to another church and it seems like it's deader than 4 o'clock in the afternoon, friend. Nobody ever moves. Nobody ever gets saved. No lives are ever changed. Nobody's excited about the things of God. I'll tell you why. There's no fire in that church. One church has fire, one church don't. Why? One church has grieved the Holy Ghost and one church hasn't. And I ask you a question, church. Have you grieved Him? What's in your life? Now, if the Holy Ghost of God is dwelling in you, then let me say you, He goes where you go. He sees what you see. He hears what you hear. He knows what you say. He knows what you do. He watches how you dress. He's with you in the light and He's with you in the dark. Now let me ask you a question. Let's get down to business. Stay with me. What do you watch? What do you look at as a Christian? What do you read? What do you say? Where do you go? What do you wear? What do you do when you're by yourself? Nobody sees you but God. Nobody sees you but the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. You say you're saved. Okay. What do you think about? What's on your mind? Oh, your husband might not know it. Your wife might not know it. Your mother and father may not know it. But God knows it. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Are you listening? I ask you a question. Have you grieved Him? Have you afflicted Him? Have you wounded Him? Have you made Him sorrowful? Have you displeased Him? Have you extinguished Him in your life? Have you quieted the Holy Ghost? Only you know what you do. You'll never make me think that every one of us are just wonderful, great spiritual angels. I'm a preacher that tries my best to stay clean and tries to do right, and I know how wicked I am. I can only imagine how wicked somebody is that don't care. Let me ask you this. Did you used to hear Him more? Did He used to speak to you more? Did He used to use you more? Did you sense His presence in your life more? Have you grieved Him? Have you quenched Him? Now I'm going to read some verses here in a few minutes and we'll be done. But think about this. What would grieve Him? I could give you a list of things that would grieve God. And you could probably give me a list of things that would grieve God. But think about this. What about saying no to Him when He asks you to do something? Are y'all with me? What if God asks you to witness and you say no? Would that grieve Him? What if He asks you to serve? Would that grieve Him? What if He asks you to give and you said no? Would that grieve Him? What about helping someone? You said no. What about going to the altar? I mean, we could give you a list of things. Listen to me, dear friend. Every time we quench Him, the fire goes out a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. The Bible says in 1 John 3:24, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. Turn over your Bibles to Ephesians 4. We're going to look at Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5 and Romans chapter 8, and I'll be done in probably just a few minutes. Stay with me now. Ephesians 4. I just want you to think about this. I want you to get this on your heart. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now look at here. I didn't say this. God said it. So if God said it, it's important. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4. Stay with me. Stay with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 25. Here's what Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to say no to what he says no to, and yes to what he says yes to. Let's go ahead and go to verse 17. Let's just read it. All right, stay with me. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In other words, here's what God said. Don't be like other people. You're supposed to be like a Christian. Stay with me. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Why? Because they're not saved. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness because, why? They're not saved. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. In other words, that's that old life. He said that concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He said, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, here's what he said. God says, get rid of this. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. That's pretty simple, ain't it? But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That includes your fingers on your Facebook. He said in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Watch what it says. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then it goes on to say, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God plainly says, hey, you're not supposed to live like the Gentiles live. They're not saved. In other words, I know we're a Gentile, but he was talking to the children of Israel because they were saved at that time. And so God is talking to saved people. Them Gentiles, if you would, is a type of the lost person at that time. The children of Israel were the saved people, but now God has given us the gospel. Amen. And God is telling the Ephesians, hey, don't live like those other Gentiles. He's talking to the children of Israel and the Ephesians. And he says, don't live like the other Gentiles. Don't live like those that the way you used to live. The old man, he says, don't live that way. He said, you're not supposed to go that way. You're supposed to do this now. Make sure you have this in your life. Make sure you don't grieve the Spirit of God. And he goes on and tells us how we're supposed to live. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5 now. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Are you with me? He said, walk in love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells you how to do that. He said, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Friend, God has much to say in Ephesians and in Romans of how we're supposed to live our life. God said this in Romans 6:12. Listen, stay with me now, I'm about done. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. God tells us to go on unto perfection. A Christian, remember what I said? Remember I said a Christian is growing in the Lord. They're growing in the Lord. They're growing in the Lord. And they're doing what God tells them to do. And they're changing and they're changing and they're changing. All of a sudden they come to a place where they say, that's it. I'm not doing that. You cease growing. And you grieve the Holy Ghost of God. Are you with me? And there are people in our churches that have allowed sin to reign in their mortal body instead of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. We are allowing our flesh and sin to do whatever it wants in us instead of doing what the Comforter that dwells in us tells us to do. Don't misunderstand this statement. I would not be a preacher today if I would have told the Holy Ghost several years ago, I ain't going no farther. Your preacher would not be the pastor of this church today if there was a time in his life when he told the Holy Ghost, nope, that's it, I'm not going no farther. God said, go on unto perfection. You know what that means? That doesn't mean that you are to be the perfect individual that never does anything wrong at all. It means that you are supposed to grow in perfection. In other words, you are supposed to grow in Christianity. You are supposed to constantly grow. Let me ask you a question. Are you with me? You dodging me? Some of you look a little nervous, a little peaked. I'm being nice. Listen to me. Why aren't you growing? How come it is that we see some people, they grow, they grow, they grow, they become great Christians? It's not that you're a lesser person. Don't think that. It's not that they're great and you're bad. It's not that. But how come it is we see people, they grow in the Lord, preacher, they grow in the Lord, they grow in the Lord, they grow in the Lord. And the next thing you know, they're great leaders in the church and they're doing a wonderful work of God and they're building a bus ministry or they're building a Sunday school class or they're maybe preaching or they're maybe going to the mission field or they're doing some kind of, and they just keep serving the Lord and just keep doing all they can do. You know why? Because they're doing what the Comforter tells them to do. You know why there's some people in church that all they're ever going to do is just sit in church and do nothing? Because you're not doing what the Comforter's telling you to do. We're not going on into perfection. We're letting sin reign in our mortal body. Look at Romans chapter 8. I'm going longer than I expected. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. I want you to look at this and we'll be done. Romans 8. Pay attention to the capital S in spirit. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh, this is why they don't grow right here, do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, they give their flesh what it wants. And they say no, they say no, they say no. Are you listening? They say no to the Comforter. He said, they that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, capital S, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, in other words, you're not doing what the Holy Ghost tells you to do, you're doing what the flesh tells you to do, cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S. If so be that the Spirit, capital S, of God dwell in you. That means if you're saved. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know what that means? That means he's saying this. If any man has not the Spirit of God, if he does not have the Comforter in him, he or she is lost. She does not belong to God. He does not belong to God. We cannot expect you to grow in the grace of God. You cannot expect that because you are not saved. You're none of his. You're none of God's. That's what it says right there. But the Bible says in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, in other words, if you're saved, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, capital S, is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, watch what it says, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. In other words, you hear people say this, well, I owe it to myself. You don't owe your flesh nothing. Nothing. The Bible said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, that's capital S, here it is right here. If ye through the Spirit, what's that mean? If ye through the one that dwells in you, if you do it through the power of the Holy Ghost, He said, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. How in the world do I change, preacher? You do it through the Spirit of God that dwells in you. You listen to whatever the Spirit of God tells you. The Spirit of God, you'll go to do something. The Spirit of God says, don't do that. You listen to Him. And you don't do it. Spirit of God said, don't look over there. You listen to Him and you don't do it. You'll start to say something in the Spirit of God that dwells in you. He'll say, hey, don't say that. You listen to Him. Spirit, don't go to that site. Don't read that. Don't type that. Don't say that about them. The Spirit of God that dwells in you. Tell them about Jesus. Go over there and witness to Him. That's the Spirit of God. How do I become a soul winner? You listen to the Holy Ghost. How do I get rid of sin? You listen to the Holy Ghost. You do what He says. You shouldn't have said that. You should not have said that. You apologize to her. You go apologize to him. You go get it right with her. You go get it right with him. You shouldn't have that spirit in your heart. You don't have that kind of... That's what the Holy Ghost will do to you. The Holy Ghost will say, that bitterness in your heart's not right. Get it right. The Holy Ghost will say, you go over there to that sister or that brother in the Lord and you tell them you're sorry and you get it right now. Don't you wait. You get it right. You get it right with your wife tonight before you go to bed. You get it right with your husband. And the Spirit of God will speak to you that way. And the Spirit of God will say, you turn that. You have no business looking at that. Don't listen to that kind of music. I don't like it. Turn it. That's what the Holy Ghost will do on the inside of you. And you'll do one of two things. You'll just keep on doing what the flesh wants to do, or you'll grieve the Holy Ghost. One of the two. You're either going to grieve the flesh, or you're going to grieve the Spirit of God. Which one are you grieving? Look what the Bible said in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I want you to read one more verse. Let's go back to verse 8. So then they, grace come to the piano, babe. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Here's the question I got for you tonight. Are you grieving the Holy Ghost? Are you grieving the Comforter? Say, what are you talking about, preacher? Really? You don't understand? Are you grieving? Are y'all listening? Don't leave me yet. Stay with me. Are you grieving the comfort of what you're looking at, with what you're saying, with what you're doing, with what you're wearing, with how you're living? I'm talking to Christians tonight. Are you grieving Him? You say, Brother Jason, how come you live the life you live? How come your wife and your girls dress separated and your sons, and how come you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't go here and you don't go there? How come? Here's why. Are you listening? It's not that I'm better than anybody. It's because I don't want to grieve him. Rodney, he means more to me than anything in this world. And to think that I've grieved him grieves me. Hurts me. I don't want to quench him in my life. I don't want to oppress him or depress him or push him down. I want the Spirit of God to have free reign in my life. What about you? How can we watch all the filth on TV? How can you look at the mess on the internet? How can you say the things you say on Facebook? How can you look at that mess? He sees what you see. He hears what you hear. He goes where you go. He does it. Don't let that bother you. Don't let it bother you. The devil don't like this kind of preaching. You listening? Have you grieved him? Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a few minutes. I want to ask the question. Is there anyone here tonight? I won't embarrass you. I wouldn't dare do that for nothing. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, preacher, if I died, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Is there anyone like that? You'd slip your hand up, say, pray for me, preacher. I'm concerned about my soul. God bless you, young lady. Thank you. God bless you, boys. Thank you. Thank you, son. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Y'all put your hand down. Preacher, if I died, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm concerned about my soul. Anybody else? God bless you. Preacher, if I died, I don't know that I'm saved. Friend, why don't you get it settled tonight? Why don't you get it settled tonight? Father in heaven, I love you. Lord, I pray for these that are not sure they're saved. And Lord, I beg of you, God, that you'd help them to get that settled tonight. Lord, that they'd leave here knowing for sure that if they die, they'd go to heaven. Holy Ghost, please draw them to you tonight, I pray. And Lord, those that are saved, I pray that they'd leave here right with God. In the name of Jesus, I pray with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're not sure you're saved, if you'll come, I'll get a lady to take a Bible and show you how to get saved. I'll get a man, take a Bible. Would you please? Brother Jim? Would you come? You raised your hand. Why don't you come? I remember when I was 19 years old, the Holy Ghost of God was drawing me to come. And I didn't fight God that night. I came. Boy, I'm glad I got saved. Would you come? No one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just for the help of those that are considering coming. Would you come? Christians, I need some Christians praying at this altar. I need some of y'all praying at the altar. There's people here that are lost. I need you praying. Pray for their soul that they'll come and get saved. Would you come? Dear man, would you come? What about it? What about it, fellow? What about it, sir? Would you come? Me and the preacher standing right down front. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? What about it, son? You raised your hand. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? What about it, dear lady? Would you come? I got a lady that'd love to lead you to the Lord. Would you come? Get it settled tonight. Son, you raised your hand. What about it? You say no to the Holy Ghost. He's not obligated to ever speak to you again. If you leave here tonight without Jesus and you was to die, oh dear God in heaven, you'd be in hell for the rest of eternity. Would you please come? Would you please come? Would you please come? God's working, church. Dear lady, would you please come? Would you meet me right down front? Would you meet me right down front? Why don't you come? What about it, son? Christian, are you right with God? Have you grieved the Holy Ghost? You want a great meeting? I'll tell you how to have a great meeting. Be right with God. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost of God. Y'all pray for those that have come. We've had two or three come for salvation. Pray that they understand. Pray that the devil's defeated. Pray that God saves their soul, that they trust in Christ, and they truly are born again tonight. And their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. What about it, son? Don't you want to come? Young lady, would you come? I won't embarrass you. I wouldn't dare do that. Get it settled, son. Get saved. Get it settled. Don't put no band-aid on no cancer. Come? Would you like to get saved tonight? Father, I want to ask another question. No one looking around, please. This question does not require that you answer by raising your hand. Please don't do that. But I want you to think. I'm going to ask this question. Here it is. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? Have you grieved the Holy Ghost of God that dwells on the inside of you? If He's grieved with anything in your life, now's the time to get it right. And then wherever it is at, or whatever it is, deal with it accordingly. If it's getting right with somebody, get it right. If it's throwing away sin, throw it away. If it's changing a lifestyle, changing the way you dress, changing the things you do, throwing away. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is the Spirit of God's dealing with you about, deal with it and get it right. The song she's playing is Take Time to Be Holy. Speak off with our Lord. Abide in Him always. Feast on His Word. Are you right with God? Have you grieved Him? For those that are not saved, I give you one more opportunity. Would you come? And let us get somebody to take a Bible. Show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Would you come?